everybody, buckle up. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy John Couch, engineering and producing the show. Yes, we made it to Election Day 2020. It's Tuesday, November the 3rd. We are bringing Southern Arizonans together right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go on the live line to Terry Bracey, our expert in Washington, who covers the D.C. and governmental affairs for us here on the program. Terry has had a unique role in representing Tucson's interests, beginning with a 10-year stint on the staff of famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was then appointed to sub-cabinet positions by President Carter and subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He's the founding partner of the respected public affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, and Brown. Terry has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital. Terry, happy Election Day. We made it.
We're here, Bill. Finally, we're here.
Yeah, finally here indeed. Terry, before I ask for your prediction, I have always found interesting in your columns in the Arizona Daily Star, your theory of how the pendulum swings in American politics from liberal to conservative. How does that factor into your thoughts on this election day?
Well, Bill, as I've written, and I may be wrong, but as I've written, I believe we're at the end of a 50-year conservative era and that Donald Trump will be the last Republican president for a long time. In 1964, Bill, I was a graduate student at the U of A, and I cast my first vote, don't tell Goldwaters this, for Lyndon Johnson, who was the last progressive president from the Franklin Roosevelt era. When LBJ and the 89th Congress approved Medicare, Medicaid, voting rights, environmental protections like the Wilderness Act, and federal aid to education, those were the last goals of a Roosevelt program that began 30 years earlier.
So then came Richard Nixon to kick off a conservative reaction?
Exactly. Really, from that moment until today, there has been a dominance of Republican presidents and conservative deregulation and military intervention. Bill Clinton was an exception, but he won in a special circumstance because of a third-party candidacy by Ross Perot, which garnered a lot of votes. But he continued conservative policies, really, by deregulating Wall Street and, frankly, filling the prisons. Barack Obama, a true progressive, got health care through, but nothing else because the Republican Congress just refused to deal with him.
So, Terry Bracey, you see this as a new progressive era starting today?
I do. I think Joe Biden will be elected and bring many Democrats at all levels with him. And by winning in a census year, that brings redistricting of Congress and state legislatures, a victory that will determine political leadership for at least a decade.
So that would make sense, I guess, why conservatives were very anxious to make sure that they got some more conservatives on the Supreme Court. But let me ask you what you think about, since it's always been possible that either candidate wins, what you think would follow a Trump or Biden victory?
Well, Bill, I think a Trump victory would bring really more of the same, but on steroids. I call it governance by bullies. Sorry, I do. He will once again, if he wins, intimidate fellow Republicans in Congress while refusing to deal with Democrats who control the House. Since I cannot find in his campaign materials, and maybe they're there, a single program he's committed to in the future. So I assume we'll continue to have government on the fly. It will have endorsed also the GOP strategy of winning elections which is currently by voter intimidation and suppression. I worry for our democracy.
So what do you think about a Biden administration?
Well, of course, his programs will depend upon how big a mandate the voters choose to give him today, if they do. If it resembles the Reagan landslide, I think that you're going to see first a major, major COVID relief package, including large payments to state and local governments. I think Tucson will get a large direct payment. In brief, I think you'll see the next thing you'll see almost immediately is a major infrastructure program, which would have the benefit of employing probably a couple million construction workers. And then I think you'll see a reform of the justice system and policing, starting with his own Justice Department, which has been frankly abused by Trump and Barr. And I'm certain that Biden would restore our alliances and, most importantly, climate change.
So what happens to the Republicans and the Republican Party if your prediction comes through?
Well, I'm a great believer, Bill, in the two-party system. In order for it to work, we must have both a strong liberal and conservative party. If it's to lose, I think the best thing for Republicans would be a big loss so that the GOP can get the Trump era behind it. I don't think it can be successful in the future acting as the protector for a disappearing white majority, nor can it base its campaigns, as I've said, around suppressing voters and intimidating non-white voters. It must really accept people of all races and push programs that appeal to the conservative young people. All of this was laid out in a study that the Republican Party had done after its losses to Barack Obama, and the suggestions weren't followed, but I think now it would be a good time to do it.
So, Terry, what's your greatest hope for this election?
Well, Bill, I'm hoping for a change, a Biden victory, and with it, an era when Americans can finally find some unity and a sense of common purpose. If you take away our politics, Biden and Trump voters have so much in common that we just aren't currently willing to admit. I think we have to hold on to each other as we deal with the amazing changes that are coming our way.
What do you think about the early vote, Terry? It some states actually, I believe six states have actually surpassed the number of people who voted 4 years ago already.
Oh, that's true. And we saw the beginnings of this in 2018, where we had the largest turnout in an off-year election since 1914. Think of that.
Wow.
And the result was positive, obviously, for Democrats. They took control of the House handily. So I look at the big turnout as a further example of what happened in 2018, and it's one of the things that gives me some confidence that Joe Biden's going to win.
All right. And for Tucson, you mentioned this huge infrastructure program that the Democrats would put forward that would bode well for our area?
Oh, it would. I think, the mayor has talked about many potential infrastructure programs for Tucson, and some are badly needed, and some are more futuristic and look forward to where we'll be in 10 or 20 years. So I think the mayor really has a really, really big job to do, and it's the hardest job any mayor has faced in all the years that I've represented Arizona.
Yeah,
so I think Mayor Romero is doing a wonderful job,
yeah,
and we'll get a lift from federal funds.
Yeah, there's going to be a huge post-COVID era that's going to be very difficult for many cities to get out from under a big financial rock. Terry Abrasi, thank you very much. We'll see if your prediction comes true, and we hopefully will know pretty darn soon. Thank you, Terry.
Well, Well, if it doesn't, you can fire me.
Okay. All right. Good to talk with Terry Bracey in Washington. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line, Terry appearing on our live line courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Coming up next, Shelley Fishman. And Shelley's given me a pretty darn good, not only one, but two thumbs up. Pretty good day on Wall Street. Terry Bracey was talking about what he believes will be a big win for Biden. We got to wonder what's going on with Wall Street. Anyway, back after this.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
It's time now for Shelly Fishman in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Yesterday was pretty good, but this is actually a better day on Wall Street. Shelly, first of all, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill. Mm-hmm. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, happy Election Day. So it was a pretty good day going on the market.
Well, you know, the market is looking for certainty. They're looking to get rid of all of the things that they can't really predict about. And when we finally are getting to a point where this election looks like it is, you know, and Terry Bracey, I think, was absolutely right. This is going to be enough of a blowout that all of the threats that we had been fearful of about violence and turmoil between now and whenever the Supreme Court gets to, you know, make determinations about the things that the Trump legal team is going to bring to them, that would continue to cause unease and uncertainty. What I think the market is seeing right now is, hey, look, you know, one way or the other, there's going to be a president. One way or the other, we're going to get some sort of COVID-related stimulus plan. And oh, by the way, if the Democrats do win and win the Senate as well, it's pretty certain that some of the things that Terry talked about would get done, including some ways of addressing our health care costs, some ways of addressing income inequality and readjusting some of the tax programs, some way of addressing global warming, and you know, some revisions to the Justice Department and the way we are trying to deal with what many people believe is systemic racism. Those are the four drivers that the economy is seeing as slowing things down. Racial inequality, income inequality, healthcare costs, global warming, those things have the capacity in the medium and long term to really hurt the economy. And when investors believe that there's going to be some means of addressing those problems fairly directly, then I think they see that as optimistic. Now, you know, we'll have to see what happens. Let's say Biden does win. Let's say it's announced tonight. We'll see what the next week or two on Wall Street brings. But what we have seen historically is that regardless of which party wins, if the incumbent party wins the election, then the next 3 months tend to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But then we saw, 4 years ago when we had a switch from the Democrats to the Republicans with Trump, the first 3 months were magnificently,
explosive. Yeah.
Now we're not there anymore, but it's really not possible to make any generalizations about how the market feels about either Republicans or Democrats winning. What we do know is that Democrats, in the long term, over the courses of an administration over the past 70 or even 100 years, Democrats are better for the markets. And certainly better for GDP growth. Now, that's counterintuitive. I know that.
Yeah.
And you know, my Republican friends.
You've gone over those numbers with us before.
Yeah,
you did the research.
What it is. What we'll see from a Biden administration, I think, fairly quickly, is a willingness to rejoin the Paris Accords, a willingness to rejoin the Trans-Pacific a trade partnership, which I think is very important in terms of finally controlling Chinese aggression, and probably a willingness to rejoin the Iran Accord. Now, you know, that we'll see about that, but those things will restabilize us with our allies. And so some of the damage that I think the Trump administration has done by unsettling the world's alliances will begin to be reversed. Markets will like that because they know how to react to global trade. They know how to react when those things are predictable and down on paper. They don't know how to react to tariffs by fiat. So I think the markets will view the kind of stability that we're likely to see from a Biden administration very favorably. Now, that said, time will tell whether these policies, number one, get implemented, and number two, they get implemented in such a way that the overall populace feels that they're gaining something from it. One of the problems with globalization, of course, is that there are winners and losers. So if the people who feel disenfranchised and kind of resentful today believe that, say, re-entering the Trans-Pacific Partnership is going to bleed jobs away from Americans, then that resentment will stay there. But if Biden is able, at the same time we embrace freer trade and globalism, if we're able to do retraining and some of the things we talked about with community colleges and the things that we really need to do to take a look at the economic advantages that we have in the United States versus economic advantages that other countries have, and so that you can create deals that are win-wins, so that we win because it really takes advantages of the things we do well, and other countries around the world win because it takes advantages of what they do well. And that balance is restruck. I think we'll see continued economic prosperity. And if we can fix the healthcare cost issue, that'll throw almost $200 billion of wasted cost into things like infrastructure. We can begin to afford those kinds of things.
And then there will be the pandemic issue about when we finally, and I hope that day is coming soon, have a safe vaccine. That will be a huge catalyst for this market.
Well, and it'll normalize the way we look at printing money and spending, spending money and borrowing money from ourselves. Right now, this pandemic has really caused us to put aside the notion that you have to pay for what, for the things you're spending on. And we haven't done that in the past 4 years. We've simply spent and spent and spent. And so what we're going to see, I think, from the Republicans, either in the majority or in the minority, is a return to their kind of hawkish positions on whether or not you should be deficit spending or taxing people. I mean, they'll go back to the whole idea that you need to reduce taxes on the top 10% because that will trickle down. Never has, but they continue to believe that. What we'll see with Biden, I think, would be an immediate tax bill that would bring corporate rates back to a nominal 28%. One of the things he wants to do there is put a 15% floor so that all corporations would pay something. That makes some sense, but it also has some problematic aspects. And those things will have to be discussed and worked through. And the idea that we're going to raise the marginal amount for individuals and families making over $400,000 doesn't trouble me at all. I mean, the 8 years of the most prosperity we've had in recent history was after Clinton's 1993 tax increase, where the top rates were at least 10% higher than they are today. So I don't worry about changes to the tax laws unless they're not well thought out, and unless we aren't at the same time we're just changing numbers in terms of nominal rates, we're also thinking really hard about exceptions and loopholes.
And if the Senate is retained by the Republicans,
we could have deadlock. Deadlock.
Gridlock, or things would be very difficult.
That's the worst of all worlds.
If things get into that situation, that could stop the stimulus too.
Right, and I think the markets would view that initially with some relief because, oh gosh, we're not going to have a Democrat tax and spend guy. And then they'll think about it and say, oh no, this is deadlock. And we have so many things working against the economy right now that we absolutely have to deal with. And with gridlock, we can't deal with those things.
All right, Shelley, we'll see what happens tonight. Thank you for your service to our program. And we'll sit a week from now. Hopefully, we'll have some.
By then, hopefully, we'll know.
Darn if we don't.
I think we're going to know by the end of the evening.
Yeah, I hope so. All right, Shelley Fishman, thank you very much. Stay safe, stay well. Thanks, Shelley.
You too, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the live line, Dr. Ray Woosley will be up first after the break. I want to talk to him about, we keep hearing about all this herd immunity. What is it? Is it going to happen? We'll talk with Dr. Woosley about that after this. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. If you are out and about right now up in the Foothills area and you are hungry, how about lunch at Mona's Danish Bakery on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise? Mona's is home to the Danish Kringle. Mona's is open right now for lunch. They opened at 6:30 a.m. for breakfast. They have indoor dining and some really nice patio dining you can do online or orders. You can do your pickup, call ahead for pickup. All of that is welcome. Check out Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. And, of course, home of the Danish Kringle, that beautiful pastry that comes in a wide variety of flavors. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things on that lovely 13-acre site, home also to Zocalo Village. Green Things taking care of all of your gardening needs for 50 years. 50 years and still growing. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Let's welcome now to the program for his monthly visit on what a segment we call Your Meds, featuring Dr. Ray Woosley, former UA College of Medicine dean and founder and now president emeritus of the Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, known as CPATH. Dr. Woosley's latest creation is called Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. The website is crediblemeds.org. Check it out. Dr. Woosley, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Good to hear your voice again.
Thank you very much. I keep hearing about herd immunity. There is so much confusion around this this term. It's a greatly misunderstood term, isn't it, Dr. Woosley?
It is, and it's one that when you're dealing with a lethal illness, we don't want to be treated like a herd of animals, and we don't want to have to rely on herd immunity in its worst form. And that's when the herd is stricken by an illness that kills off a lot of the animals, and the ones that live through it have some immunity that allows the virus to stop being transmitted. Well, that's a horrible situation, and we're not a herd of animals. We're not a bunch of cows that have to rely on that kind of death rate. We have options, and thankfully, there are a lot of thousands of people working on some of those options. And we shouldn't really think of this as something that we're just bound to all die, and the survival of the fittest is not what we hope to be the outcome of this.
And how do the vaccines, Dr. Woosley, play into this?
Well, vaccines are one way to give everybody some immunity. We hope it's lasting. The problem, and there's a lot of vaccine work being done, a lot of different types of vaccines being tested, and within the next 6 to 9 months, some of those, I believe, will be available. The question is, what percentage of people who become vaccinated develop antibodies that are able to prevent the illness, and how long will it last? And we may be ending up with a situation where we have to have a vaccination every 6 to 12 months because of the type of virus this is. But we believe that's one way to slow down the virus. But it's not very close. It's sadly, it's another year away from us. And the question is, what can we do in the meantime? We don't have drug cures. The remdesivir that's been approved by the FDA is very questionably effective. The data in this country shows that it reduces the length of your hospitalization, but there's another study from Europe that says it doesn't do anything. So that's the lead drug, Decadron or steroids, dexamethasone. It's the other treatment, but it's, only been tested in people who are on a respirator, and it seems to be reducing the death rate in respirator patients. But we don't know if it can. It doesn't prevent the illness, and we don't know enough about how to use it to be sure it's effective. And even if it is effective, we're still left with a death rate that's unacceptable.
So it really puts us in a very difficult position. We're seeing new cases really just off the charts in this country. And, you know, you're getting back to the vaccines. Even the best vaccines, I understand, are only 70% effective. But perhaps if someone is gets the vaccine, it will be like taking the influenza vaccine. Some say that having a little bit of that in you is better than nothing, and perhaps you would have a milder case of COVID-19, Dr. Woosley.
Exactly. And the estimates, based on our experience with, you know, 30 million Americans have developed COVID, according to the CDC, and about 2% of those have had to be hospitalized, and about a little less than 1%, or 1 out of 125 people, have actually died because of it. And based on that experience, we project that if we don't do something, another 4 million people will be hospitalized, and 1.5 million of those people will die. So that's if we don't do anything. And the good news is we aren't that herd of animals, and we do have options. And we have a public health history in this country that shows that we know how to block transmission. And I know everybody's sick of hearing this about wash your hands, wear a face mask, socially distant. But that's the way we can all contribute. And then as a society, we need national testing broadly. That is, we need to mobilize the military, if necessary, to track and trace. People can be trained and effectively isolate those who test positive. But we've got to act quickly because the pandemic is taking over. You know, 2 to 10% of people are carrying the virus as we speak, all across the country.
There have been some countries that have been very successful. Australia, I believe, does not have a COVID-19 case right now, and that's a pretty large country.
That's right. Yeah. So other countries have really mobilized and made it a national effort. We have delegated it to the mayor, the states and the governors, and each one has taken a different tack, but we really need a coordinated national effort. And I'm not saying that we need to shut down the nation again. I think we need to listen to the experts and really rely on them, because this is not a simple process. This is something that happens every 100 years or so, and we were prepared for it, but we didn't act. And it's never too late to start acting as long as people are dying.
What about this that the doctors have a bigger payday if they do a COVID diagnosis?
That's really misinformation. Doctors don't make more when they take care of a patient. They are usually paid by the visit or their activities or by their salaries. Hospitals can be paid more for a COVID patient, but hospitals don't declare whether the diagnosis, but they take the doctor's diagnosis. And COVID patients are costing a fortune to the hospitals. So they make a little bit, hospitals make a little bit more for a COVID diagnosis, but that's because the patient's in an intensive care unit. And these bills run into the hundreds of thousands and sometimes run for, you know, 2 months in an ICU. You can imagine what that's going to cost.
Wow. Dr. Woosley, before we let you go, tell our listeners about Credible Meds. I know you're getting a lot of hits on the website, which is really easy to find. You can Google Credible Meds. You can go to crediblemeds.org. A quick pitch, please.
Yes, we hope that the Credible Meds website will provide the public the information they need to use medicine safely. There's a list of questions that you should ask your doctor when you get a prescription, a list of questions to take to your pharmacist, and then some tools to help you manage your medications because they are important, but they can be dangerous. They can be deadly if you take them incorrectly. A recent study showed that 43% of the medical errors that occur in medicine or in healthcare are due to the medications we take. So they're a blessing, but they need our attention, and Credible Meds is designed to try to help you use those medicines and get the most benefit and the least risk of harm.
All right, Dr. Woosley, always a pleasure. Good to hear your voice. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next month. Thank you.
Thank you, and everybody vote.
There you go. Dr. Ray Woosley with us on the Buckmaster Show on this election day in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Dr. Woosley appeared courtesy on our live line of Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. Up next, it's Janos Wilder, the famed Tucson restaurateur, will talk with us about his plans right after this.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our thanks to a longtime sponsor, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We're all keeping our fingers crossed that sooner, I hope it's sooner rather than later, that New Mexico will once again reopen to out-of-state visitors, but there's nothing that stops you, and I hope you do start looking for your trip planning, three-hour drive over to Silver City. Their website, southwestnewmexico.org, you will find out about great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Janos Wilder is a James Beard Award-winning chef. He has been a cornerstone of Tucson's restaurant scene since he opened his namesake Janos downtown. On Halloween night, 1983, he remained downtown until he moved the restaurant to La Paloma. That was in 1998. He left the foothills in 2012. Coming full circle, returning to downtown with his downtown kitchen at 135 South 6th Avenue. The downtown kitchen has pretty much been closed since the corona pandemic began, when the governor ordered all restaurants to close their dining rooms and transition to takeout. Janos joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Janos, how are you?
Oh, Bill, I'm really good, and it's really nice to hear your voice, to talk to you on this great election day.
Yep, it is a great election day. Get out there and vote, folks, if you haven't already. Janos, I know a lot of people seem to be in shock about your announcement. Against a background of what we've been seeing, really tough times for the restaurant industry, I don't think it's that shocking that you decided maybe this would be a time to shutter a downtown kitchen permanently.
Yeah, in the whole scheme of things, it's not. It sort of, I have to tell you, though, it did sort of come as a surprise, as a bit of a surprise to me, as we were looking to move forward, and it turned out that wasn't going to be the case for us. And my landlords, who have been fantastic, Tim Fuller and Barbara Gudis, decided that it was time for them, and I completely respect their decision, to sell their building, and that's the building we've been in. And so we decided at that point with the new landlord, who's also terrific, Ross Rulney, who's my landlord at the Carriage House, that this is probably a good time for me to just settle in at the Carriage House, let that space go to somebody else, and open up at the Carriage and continue at the Carriage House. And sort of this is a good transition time for me after almost 40 years cooking in Tucson. It's time to slow down a little bit, smell the roses, see my family, get home for dinner almost every single night. That my wife might get tired of that, but we'll give it a shot, and continue with a lot of the work that we've been doing all along, and even some new things as well.
You know, the Carriage House really is a great space. It's located at 125 South Arizona Avenue. You will continue on there with special events, catering. It's in the alley behind Downtown Kitchen. So you've got to be excited as you move forward with this project, especially as we're coming up to the holidays.
I really am excited about it. It's a lot of fun. I've always liked that we opened the Carriage House 5 years ago, and it's been really a whole different sort of venue for us. And you know, right now this isn't clearly a time when a lot of events are taking place, but we've got some really fun things planned here. And first off is going to be a series of online cooking classes. The first series is going to be for folks who have been at home cooking for their families every single night for the last 7 months, and they probably ran out of repertoire about 5 months ago. And so that's where I step in, and I'll teach them all sorts of new techniques and brand new dishes and things that they can surprise and delight their families with. And we'll have a whole repertoire of those that I'm going to be teaching, and then I'll teach a series, and all of this will be online. As I said, I'll be teaching a series of classes on Tucson, the city of gastronomy, and all of the flavors and all of the dishes that we've been creating since the very beginning of my time here in Tucson, that deal with the flavors and the ingredients of Tucson.
And your announcement followed a couple of high-profile restaurants, Cafe Poca, Cosa, closing, Elvira's closing. Downtown will come back, won't it, Janos?
Oh, yeah, without question. And Susana, you know, Susana Suzanne and I are in sort of a unique position. We're both about the same age, and as we were considering what it might be to move forward in each of our cases, and I won't speak for Suzanne, I'll just speak for me, this is a good time to transition. It's going to be fallow for a little while. Will downtown bounce back? Absolutely, is stronger than ever. I'm certain of that, but it's not in the next 2 months or 6 months, and who knows when that time frame is going to be. But, boy, the Rio Nuevo Board, the Downtown Tucson Partnership, the mayor's office, the county, boy, everybody wants to see downtown thrive and survive, and it will thrive. There's over $300 million worth of construction taking place right now downtown. That's infrastructure in terms of apartments, hotels, office buildings. You probably read about this too. You might have even talked about it on the air about the building that's going to go up at, I guess, at 75 East Broadway. Another new project that wasn't even listed in the ones that I was talking about. So downtown is here to stay. Restaurants are going to adjust. There's no question that we'll lose more restaurants, but new ones will come up. When we opened here 10 years ago, there were just a handful of restaurants downtown, including Cafe Pocacosa, of course. And now there's probably, between restaurants and bars, I bet there's close to 80 to 100, and it'll shrink a little bit. And I'm sorry for everybody who's going to have to go through that. And at the same time, it'll bounce back, too.
And I know you've said publicly this is it as far as you'll likely never open another restaurant. But, you never know in life what might happen. I was just thinking that the Carriage House, I don't know, could it ever transition to some limited kind of dining as a restaurant?
Well, yes, and yeah, it could. It could. We're going to be doing that, but on a very limited basis in terms of pop-up dinners, because we've got, the wonderful food we've been cooking and hosting people for, forever now, and I don't want that to end. But I like the idea of it doing it sort of an intermittent basis when we sort of control that and control the menus and know when we're going to be doing that. And so that will definitely be happening. I think we're going to wait a little bit till people get a little more comfortable going out to eat, and the numbers will be small at first. We'll keep the numbers small. The first order of business is to be safe, and that's always been the case with us, and I think with almost all restaurateurs since the pandemic began.
Carriage House is a historic property.
It is. It's 100. I guess it's 101 now. It's about almost the same year that Downtown Kitchen was built. It was built as well. This was this whole building that we're in, and the Carriage House is just part of it. Was the first indoor automobile dealership in Tucson. It was a Studebaker dealership, and the Carriage House was the shop for that.
Wow. All right, Janos, this is a transition time for many, many people. We don't know what the future holds, but I'm sure you're going to be very, very much a part of the post-pandemic resurrection of downtown Tucson. Thank you. It's always a pleasure talking to you. I've known you for many years and respect you very much, Janos.
Well, thank you, Bill. I feel the exact same way about you, and I appreciate every opportunity you give me to come on and talk to you and talk about what's happening downtown and what's happening with us. So thank you so much for all of those opportunities.
Thank you very much, Chef Janos Wilder, with us on the Buckmaster Show. That's going to wrap it up. Election Day here. Tomorrow, we're going to really go deep into what happened, what transpired today. Got a whole lineup of media folks who will be joining me. Kind of winging it tomorrow, a little bit different than what we do on the program. Not very usually the program is very structured because I want to give as much content as possible with as many guests. We're going to wing it to a certain extent to talk about the election results. All right, on behalf of my engineer producer, always doing a great job, John Couch, appreciate John very much. I'm Bill Buckmaster, and if you haven't voted, there's still time. Get out there, exercise your franchise. Have a great afternoon.